Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, without Will, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's a very special day today. It's Vinnie's birthday! Yay! I'm now 26 years old, and looking back, taking some time for reflection, I've done a heck of a lot of really naughty things. I've ambushed the Prime Minister, John Key, the former Prime Minister, Helen Clark. I've gone to more protests than I care to remember. Done more videos for the truth movement in this country than anybody else that I've seen. And of course, the very first New Zealander to have a truther radio show 5 days a week, actually airing in New Zealand. So you know. I think that it's been a very, very good year. When I was 25, I stopped smoking cigarettes. The reason why I stopped smoking cigarettes is because the entire reason I started was to learn how to roll cigarettes. By 25 years old, I'd become so proficient at rolling that every single cigarette I rolled was perfect. So there was no point smoking anymore. And smoked 70 cigarettes on that night. And haven't smoked one since. Nice and simple. Thought that was a brilliant little achievement there. But, you know, we've been doing a heck of a lot of stuff together for quite some time. Me and Will, making videos, ambushing scum. Hey, Will.
Never, never. Yeah, sure, there's plenty of targets out there. We need about 500,000 New Zealanders in order to capture them all, I'd say.
Absolutely. 500,000 New Zealanders with mosquito nets. So that when those, you know, scumbag politicians come around your area going, you can smack them over the side of the head. Yeah. But always turn a camera on them. And this is the thing. The pen is mightier than the sword, but the camera is mightier than the pen. When you confront a politician and you stick a camera in their face, doesn't matter what they say, you've got them, okay? Because if they lie, it shows them as a liar, so you can't trust them. If they dodge the question, it shows that they're dodgy, so you can't trust them. Or they tell the truth, which shows that they're an ally to you. All right? So that's the reason why we really do try to encounter these people, to try and figure them out. And invariably, most of them wind up dodging the question or lying about it. Which gives me some description of pause to think about what is our country coming to. If people are so disgustingly decadent, terrible scum, that they wind up getting in parliament. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We'll be right back. 402-237-2525. we're back. Live from the shiny slave capital of New Zealand, Auckland. On American Freedom Radio and Rush 89 FM in Hamilton. Now, speaking of birthday parties, we had... I had a conversation with the network owner, radio station owner in Hamilton yesterday, and next to him was a very, very loud party, some alcohol-fueled youths, of course, because there's nothing else to do in Hamilton this time of the year. We're getting a tad rowdy, and he was very tolerant and, you know, didn't go over and say anything, and just, you know, they got a little bit louder and a little bit louder, and, you know, it was kind of petering out. And then all of a sudden, police turn up en masse, armed defender squad, the whole works, you know, with the flashing lights and this, that, and the other. And this article comes out today. Teens accused of machete attack moved. Two teens charged with attempting to murder a Hamilton cop with a machete are now in a secure house in Rotorua. The 14 and 16-year-old boys appeared briefly in youth court Hamilton yesterday. Their names are suppressed due to their age. Child, Youth and Family has found them a secure house to live in until their next court appearance at the end of the month. Now, the basic thing is they went to swing a machete at a cop who deflected it with his nightstick and then arrested them. And the next day, the area was basically cordoned off and forensics had come in and, they're vacuuming the lawns, you know. And assuredly... this will be used as a justification by the government. I can just see it now that the police now need guns. Even though every time you arm the police, the criminals just wind up getting better armed. And not to mention, when police can just pull out a gun and just shoot somebody deader than a hammer, they wind up doing it a heck of a lot more often than is necessary. But
this is just it's just a pragmatic thing, though, Vinny. I always harp on about pragmatic versus dogmatic thinking. A pragmatist will say, because the cop got swung at by a machete, we need to give them more powers, and because we give them more powers, we need to do this. I mean, it just flows on and on and on. You set one problem, you create a problem in motion, and then you can rationalize based upon pragmatic arguments, one-dimensional arguments, why you need to take further steps, why we need a surveillance society, why we need a totalitarian government. Whereas they try it on a dogmatic person like me. I'm like, no, you created you helped create anyway. I wouldn't say you entirely created, but the government helped fuel 16-year-olds and 14-year-olds to go and attack cops with all the violent video games and the violence in movies implanted on their subconscious. You know what I mean?
So and not
create,
to mention...
And all the poverty they create and all the injustice they create in society fuels hatred amongst different factions.
That's true. And the reason why the police get such a hard time is because people hate them. And they hate them for good reason a lot of the times, is that they've been screwed over by police. I've been screwed over by police.
At the same time, I feel sorry for the officer who got swung at with the machete.
Absolutely. But let's not forget that, you know, a lot of police do give others a bad name. And this is one of the things that I find very, very interesting about the whole police establishment, is that they can go out and they can be violent. They can hurt people. They can lie in court and get people convicted. But as soon as somebody assaults them or insults them or tries to take them to court, mate, we need to give police more powers. This is the ridiculous notion of government here working in to try and make people hate the police even more, so that they'll get assaulted even more. You know, and these frontliners don't see it coming half the time because the top headers of the government really, really love seeing it happen because it gives them the justification.
It's like it's a physical at a base level. At an operating principle level, of this whole universe, if you give something more power, then you have to be taking it from another place. I mean, in physics terms, a car tire, this is an analogy here, has a circle of grip. It has lateral grip and longitudinal grip in an X and Y axis. If you ask cornering from a car, lateral grip, you can't give it so much longitudinal grip. You can't accelerate as much. This is a physical model you can break things down into. If you give police powers, you have to be taking powers away from the rest of the population. That's the only way in which it works. It's a 100% provable physical model. And that's how government works. That's how government gets empowered at the disempowerment of its population. And then people argue, well, what's wrong with a chiefly system? What's wrong with a benevolent authority? Well, what's wrong with it? Well, it may have worked for the North American Indians. It may have worked for the indigenous populations of New Zealand. Maybe. There's still war. There's still power shifts. There's always going to be.
There was still genocide and enslavement.
There's still corruption. But maybe not. I would hasten to guess that the corruption of the tribes of this land pre-European times had nothing on the corruption we see today.
Oh, mate. No, seriously.
They're a much smaller gang, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got advanced corruption, you know? We've got technologically advanced corruption mechanisms. I just love it.
And that's why you can't have a benevolent dictator today, because a couple of hundred years ago or a couple of thousand years ago, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have jet aircraft and internal combustion engines. We didn't have the complexities that we have in society just around me in this room right here that no one person can understand fully. And that's the problem. We've made our lives so complex that the average person doesn't want to even try and understand, and so we end up handing over our self-governance to central or now global governance.
Speaking of which, this article in here from Press TV, support for UK coalition hits fresh low. A new poll has suggested that support for Britain's Conservative Liberal Democrat coalition government has dropped sharply since it took the helm in May, probably because they said that they were going to do away with all these draconian police measures and all of that, which they've only continued since then. Remember I said yesterday that, you got a president or a prime minister that didn't keep their promises?
I've got this bipartisan nonsense government, too, yeah. I mean.
What's happening here is we've got like this centrism thing going on, right, where the two opposing parties are so alike and so similar that there's no possibility for any difference to ever be made under any circumstances. This is precisely what the UK coalition represents for me, is this move to centrism where there's no possibility of any description of change whatsoever in our conceivable lifetimes, provided there's, of course, no type of free media that gets out the truth on this kind of matters, and no type of large-scale public action against it. Because what I find is that when protests are happening, they're about singular issues, like the funding being cut to the students, for example. Huge, huge protests about that. But when you talk to them about how the government's criminal on the whole and you need to actually get all these scumbags, including 300-plus pedophiles, out of Parliament, they don't care.
Why is it that a bunch of... You know, I'd have to say leftist anarchist-style students. And I appreciate their activism. I think it's quite good they're getting angry once in a while. But why is it they can only get angry over student fees and not over the essence of life, i.e. what's in their food and water?
Maybe
why is that
not
so detached from them?
Maybe because they're not pragmatic enough, Will.
They're not dogmatic enough. No, they're not dogmatic enough. They're too pragmatic. See, they're based on the practical consequences of their course fees going up, they get riled up. So it's something easy, something tangible, something they can obviously see without doing an hour's worth of research because they're lazy SOBs. I mean, that's frankly it. If you make something plainly obvious, i.e. tripling fees, people are going to get mad. If you just stick something in there, if you just stick estrogen in their drink or radioactive isotopes in their water, I mean, they're just going to go, oh, yeah, sure. You know, because they're too busy partying and being depravic.
And drinking the fluoridated beer.
I just don't understand how sleight of hand goes so undetected by vast groups of people far smarter than I, you know. And I just don't understand it, how these people can, at university, first year uni, engineering school, open my eyes to just how much detail and how much complexity there is in the simplest building structure even. Just how much intelligence goes into everyday household designs. And then it blows my mind a few years later now to realize these same people can't work out simple, obvious truths or if they can, they do nothing about it.
Yeah.
And they're busy working away for 20 years on some minor, you know, calculation that affects some minor realm of civil engineering, but they don't care about the fundamentals.
Like the fundamentals of life, for example, and this is what I find really interesting, is that whole fight or flight mechanism that we're supposed to have, you know, to warn us when danger is coming, and that just seems to have disappeared. And the reason why, I believe, is that the people who are in control of our society, the Anglo-American New World Order, own all the media, so that they keep spreading out this fear, pumping it out all the time, so that people's fight or flight mechanism is in fact disengaged when a real threat actually comes onto them, because they're so freaked out all the time, pumping on adrenaline, whatever, oh, terrorism this, global warming that, yada, 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 that they fail to recognize genuine threats in their midst. Because they're just on edge the whole time and they can no longer decipher the difference. Now, speaking of deciphering the difference between life and death, this is an article in here from Press TV as well. Obama to execute end-of-life health plan. The Obama administration is set to implement a new policy that will give doctors the permission to end patients' lives with their consent. And I'm sure that that's going to be abused a shockingly large amount as well, because Hitler, I believe, implemented similar policies of euthanasia. And the deaths of the elderly and things of this nature can be easily coerced and whatnot through the use of pharmaceutical drugs and telling them that, oh, you're never going to get better. No, 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 put that lettuce down. Don't drink that healthy water that doesn't have fluoride in it. Here, take a toxic, have a toxic medication. You'll feel much better. And as they feel much worse, they feel like dying.
Well, I mean, the government's so great at giving people these freedoms. Like, they give you the freedom to kill your own baby if it doesn't fit in with the practical nature of your lifestyle. Or, you know, they give you all these false freedoms, and then they say, oh, you're not pro-choice. I mean, it's so evil. It's such an evil system. They say, you're not for choice. If we make a false choice that happens to be immoral or based upon something that breaks the rules of nature or whatever the choice is, they create artificial choices and then say, you're bad if you don't agree with it. You don't agree with gay marriage. Even though the term marriage is a Judeo-Christian term, I wouldn't say to someone I wouldn't say to followers of Islam that they're being somehow racist or discriminatory towards me because they won't allow me to have a marriage under Sharia law. Why would I, as a non-Islamic person, want to be married under Sharia law? This is ridiculous. The same. Why would a gay person need to be married when they have full protection under the law, equal rights under the law, in terms of their civil union? And if they are to split up after 2 years, what happens with assets between the two partners? I mean, so they already had. These are all these false debates and false choices that are created, that are designed to split people and create these phony electoral campaigns upon phony difference.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so pathetic.
Yeah.
And I see people like Drew Barrymore getting up and with tears in their eyes going, oh, this is the biggest issue of my life. Gay people can't be married. It's just over a term, over a single word. Everyone needs equal rights. I fight for civil rights, not black rights, not white rights, not gay rights, not any so-called minority rights. Everyone's rights, universal rights.
And when you single out people's rights and things like that, what you're doing is leading to discrimination of that person who you're trying to fight for the rights for a lot of the time, because people will just discriminate against you because you're trying to stand up for a singular group as opposed to just in general, everybody needs rights. Much like the people who are currently in Israeli prisons, who a recent report has just come out, the Israeli Daily Haaretz, says that Israeli prisons are more like dungeons, that solitary confinement rooms are crowded. And they have no windows in a lot of them, making sure that people who are in there get the impression that they're in there for severe punishment rather than just imprisonment. Explain that one to me. Why is it that people in Israel can't get a decent prison, you know? And this is another false debate that we can have about the prison conditions in Israel. But why the heck would we talk about that when we can have a look at, well, the total mass genocide that's happening freaking everywhere through the use of depleted uranium in the Middle East, you know?
People need to pick an issue, but they need to pick a real issue. That's my only point, is don't fight for the rights of some minor group because they're worried about a little term like marriage, when all their other liberties are being destroyed, when their air is being poisoned with the chemtrails, when their food and water supplies are compromised. Why are they worried about a single word? Oh, because they're living in a false reality delusion. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Will, don't you love living in the false reality delusion? Doesn't it make you feel all ugly at night?
It's just shocking, man. It's just such a waste of human activity. And then they'll turn around and say, oh, you protesting for 9/11 truth. That's a waste of human activity. Because they don't understand that 9/11 truth or fluoride truth leads to the top of the throne. They don't understand that. Because you know, all their little petty causes, they don't touch upon the underlying principles of what operates this reality. They don't go anywhere near it. That's why they're often promoted. A lot of these little petty causes, like the climate change mob, are promoted by the very people running this evil system.
Yeah. I suppose that if you wind up serving the establishment, the evil want to enslave and ruthlessly exterminate everybody establishment I'm talking about here, then you will get all the funding, all the media coverage, and all the support that is in existence, right? If you're fighting for something true, if you're fighting for, you know, 9/11 truth, if you're fighting for getting the fluoride out of the water, if you're fighting to bring down the big pharma kill switch mechanism scumbag, you know, various seven words that you can't say on radio.
If you're fighting for national sovereignty.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, and no, seriously, these are real issues. These are real issues that have far-reaching impacts. But, you know, obviously, those in the population who actually sit down and watch TV, it's like, as Bill Hicks said, it's like putting a black spray paint mark on your third eye. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. 402-237-2525. You'd like to join us on our birthday special. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Critics who prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide. The
welcome back. To the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. This is Will speaking, in case you're wondering. And Vinnie has something special for us here. A group unbeknown to me, Genocide Rap, and they have a song here called Classified Intelligence, Change Gonna Come. So, let's wait and have a listen to this stuff.
You people are listening to me right now because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Listen to me. Television is not the truth.
Yeah. Hey, yo. Genocide. My man, Junior Machno. Junior Machno. We are classified intelligence.
Hey yo, big genocide, man, I bring revolution. Ladies and gentlemen, join with the movement. Form a union. unit, demand a resolution. No more seclusion, the system I'm refusing. We're gonna protest till we see progress. We're gonna take it to the White House doorsteps. Tell the president, notify the press. The voice of the people you can never suppress. They got agenda 21, population reduction. Shadow governments making your government function. They tell you what to do when you follow instruction. Too blind to see the lies and the corruption. Rise up, cause we running out of patience. We ain't scared, bring the regiments and agents. We gonna take it to the streets and the pavements. So get ready for the liberty assailants. The air is unfit to breathe. Our food is unfit to eat. Yes, brother.
Yes, vaccinated.
Global warming is a hoax.
A carbon tax.
We all slaves to the big corporations. Brainwashed by the TV station. Publication, mass nation. Disinformation in school education. They print money and we kill for the paper. Made in America. Guns on the freighter. They got the free trade, but it's really slave labor. You rocking the labels made by your kid in Asia. Got the ring with the bling bling diamonds. Sold to the West by African war tyrants. Does it feel good to be covered in violence? Rappers need to wake up and break the silence. Come on, raise the sirens. Change will commence. We don't want war. We don't want local governance. One world government. No more belligerence. A change don't come when we stop all the ignorance.
The air is unfit to breathe.
Classified intelligence.
Things are bad. Worse than bad. Food is unfit to eat.
A microchip could trap human beings by satellite.
Project eugenics.
This is the prison grid.
Don't be a victim, be alert, be aware. Propaganda, psyop warfare. Global warming, they want to tax air. But don't care, Al Gore gonna be a billionaire. What you know about harp and weather modification? Chemtrail chemicals covering the nation. The eugenics control population. Big pharma with the killer vaccination. Classified intelligence, we got the facts. Nothing but the evidence, real for you cats. False flag operation, terrorist attacks. A million body bags buried deep in Iraq. A change gon' come when the people awake. Investigate, realize how the system operate. We need to mobilize, rise and retaliate. Fight for the freedom they want to annihilate.
All right, added to our drinking water.
We're being poisoned. Global warming is a hoax.
A change don't come.
Things are bad.
Worse than bad.
The air is unfit to breathe.
Get vaccinated.
Classified intelligence.
A microchip could track human beings by satellite.
We're working on a product which is an implantable GPS and can be implanted surgically in the clavicle area of a child.
Well, pretty hard hitting, wasn't it? Some familiar voices in there too, I noticed.
Yeah, it's cool, eh? These guys, they trawled the internet looking for quotations and things that they can have with their video and stuff like that. And they came across my videos and included that into their repertoire, which I found was pretty cool. But hopefully. And I've been in contact with them over YouTube. I want to have them on because the blending of the truth movement with the music scene is one of my many goals, right? Because, have a look at the late 60s, the huge amount of revitalization of youth culture and political activism came through the music scene. And I think it was Bob Marley, for example, preached a lot about things in his music, and movements started up over these things. So I think that if we combine genuine musicians with genuine political thought, it will be an unstoppable combo. You know,
it just opens a debate anyway. You know, it doesn't mean that every musician or artist out there, you know, I don't agree with John Lennon and everything, but at least opening debate. That's the goal, isn't it? Not this pap, white bread, Britney Spears nonsense.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, you know, we deal with really, really serious stuff. And it's cool to be able to be entertained whilst we're talking about these very serious issues, you know. It's there's a need for it. And musicians like this, like Classified Intelligence, and there's various other... And what I find is it's traditionally rappers, you know, R&B people who come out for 9/11 Truth and things like this, usually self-made, self-published rappers. Because
Immortal Technique comes to mind there. No one says it harder than Immortal Technique. But then there's a lot of subtleties and lots of genres also that people might not pick up on so well. But there are, you know, I guess Flowbots do their thing too.
Oh, for real. And they do some incredible hip-hop as well.
Hmm. I mean, I think there's lots of rock artists alluding to things.
There's Megadeth?
Globally, yeah. Well, but also Metallica. And Metallica are very against New World Order.
Muse.
Matt Bellamy there, his uncle killed by British intelligence. Yeah. Sure.
So there you have it, folks. You know, it's. But the thing is, the association with these people is because their music is good for the general public rather than the message. And what I find with Truth is that we get more absorbed, shall we say, into the message of what people are portraying and how they come through that. It's the same reason why truthers who like Immortal Technique will also hate Lady Gaga and Jay-Z, because they're total Illuminati scum.
Well, yeah, and there's also a reason why certain artists ascend and a reason why certain others don't. It's not a free market, as in everything. It's a controlled criminal enterprise. So,
yeah. I was talking with Ricky Ray this morning, and he says that if you're an artist, you may not go straight to the top if you just publish yourself, but it means that you don't have to sell your soul. Okay, and that's what happens to these incredible, huge, spectacle-type acts, is that in order to get to that level, they have to sign away every bit of creative license or everything, basically to a record company who brings their own choreographers and does all this. So you wind up, you know, unwittingly doing rituals on stage to summon Lucifer.
Well, yeah, we've covered this plenty of times, but yeah, there is absolutely no doubt. It can be corroborated via hundreds of alternate points of evidence that Jay-Z is not just selling out to a corporate system, as a lot of people think it is. He's selling out to an occult system. And Ricky Ray breaks this down perfectly and has done so on the show. But a number of people, this is plainly obvious. And if you look at our interviews with Jay-Z on YouTube about his religious views, it becomes obvious that he has this one world religion type ideology. He says everyone worships the same God. He gives away where he's coming from fairly obviously to anyone who's studied this stuff. But then in his lyrics and on the T-shirts, Do As Thou Wilt T-shirts, which Crowley, Aleister Crowley, the most evil man alive, the Beast 666, apparently stole from the Hellfire Club. They had that motto written in French as their mantra. But Jay-Z uses all this. But of course, it's random to just passive observers. It's quite entertaining on some level, but it's scary on another.
Yeah.
So we need just straight shooters out there. We need just straight shooter musicians who tell it like it is. And I think there's a reason why Immortal Technique is not in Jay-Z's position.
Yeah. And also the... person who was just doing that wonderful song for us earlier is Genocide. That's his name. You want to see his work, you go to http://genocideRap.wordpress.com. And what I like about him is that he's put all his songs up there for anybody to listen to, you know, as basically you should. And he's got the whole thing laid out reasonably well, and it's a WordPress thing, so It's yeah, man. He's put a lot of work into it. He's done like a couple of albums, and it comes from Bosnia, in 1984. Same born the same year as you and me, Will. And when he was eight, there was a somewhat brutal conflict in Yugoslavia in his hometown Zvornik. It's one of the first places to fall under attack, and he kind of watched from the hills as his beautiful little multicultural city got ethnically cleansed. Mm. And then he...
He obviously had his watershed event, didn't he? I mean, some are more obvious than others.
Well, why do you think it's called genocide?
Yeah. Well, it could be for a number of reasons, you know, that there's global genocide going on. But, I mean, yeah, obviously he's had his, you know, his hard background to wake him up. And we all need it at some level, don't we? Too many people shelter themselves, I find. There's not that they have easy backgrounds. Some people, a lot of people, obviously, the majority of people don't. And it's the majority of people who are under the spell. And so, you know, it's not just our upbringing. It's a series of events that...
Yeah, it's like Lemony Snicket's, a series of unfortunate events. Unfortunately, for a lot of people that accomplish very little in their lives, they wind up taking very little risks. They decide to play it safe all the time. Never do anything that scares them. Try not to stick out.
Playing it safe is going along with the mob.
Yeah.
I mean, and when I say the mob, I don't mean your fellow civilians. I mean the gangsters that run this world who have pretty much no honor or nobility or value system that we do, you know, or that is...
And they have a different perspective of a genocide to people like you and me. Well, you know, to them, genocide is something that's great. It's good for the planet. It's good for the blood god.
Well, it's less for us and more for them, you know, and that's just it on a simple level, I suppose. But then they want the remaining hearts and minds to be on their wavelength to empower their cause.
Yeah,
and that's why they need people like Jay-Z. People say, what point, why would they invest all the time and effort into Jay-Z and grooming someone like that? Well, for the same reason they invest time and money into weapons development. Here's a weapon on the minds of youth that you can't blow away like the ones in the Middle East.
Very, very tricky. And so that means that our words are our ammunition. Can you fire 100 rounds a minute?
That's why they want to limit our freedom of speech.
Yeah, mate.
That's exactly it. That's why they'll call us anything. Kooks, nut jobs, gun-toting, right-wingers, whatever they want to come up with in order to keep it down. Just like you watch They Live, and They Live, you know, this fanciful movie based on, I think it was Colorado, where aliens...
Los Angeles, where the depths of an economic depression was coming in, and people were like in little shanty towns around LA, and the police come in and move them out and bulldoze all of the little man-made structures and stuff like that.
Well, what was behind it was this alien race was in charge of things, and a certain group of scientists have worked out they were putting out a signal from a transmission tower to brainwash people.
Through the television.
And only a few could see it, and they were labelled communists by the system in order to get the police to target them. Labels, you see.
Don't you love labelling? Especially when they don't tell you what food a GMO. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. Oh,
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Vinnie appears to be absent at the stage. Maybe tucking into his birthday cake. Not entirely sure at this point. We were discussing climate change again over the break and just weighing into how satisfying it is to have a British nobleman speaking against that horrendous mob of cultists.
Our next guest said he can clearly say, "I told you so." Back in November, the UK's government weather forecasting office claimed that this winter would be mild. That's the same office pushing a global warming agenda. But here's the forecast for this winter, as predicted in November by astrophysicist and meteorologist Piers Corbin. Take a listen.
The winter, December to February, inclusive in Britain and Europe, will be exceptionally cold and snowy, like hell frozen over at times.
Hey, he was right. It feels like that outside right now. You're looking at video of an extremely snowy Britain from this week. So much for global warming. He says, prepare for the ice age. Piers Corbin joins us now. Piers, how did you pull this off? How did you manage to be so accurate when everyone else in that office was saying, it's not going to happen?
Well, the science, so-called, of these scientists you referred to is failed science based on fraudulent data. We understand that the sun, solar particle and magnetic effects, which control Earth's weather and climate. And we're able to predict this a long time ahead. So we predicted that this December would be the coldest for 100 years, which it has been, as it's shown on this. And we also predicted on the 12th of December that northeast and east USA would suffer the most horrendous blizzards for decades. And we put out a tweet saying, "You ain't seen nothing yet."
We haven't seen anything yet. And because you now are predicting that there is global cooling taking place.
Yeah.
And that seems to fly in the face of what we're hearing at large. In fact, today in the New York Times, a piece about the trend of global warming. And their argument is, from scientists, they say that because we're seeing global warming, that's why we're seeing such weather extremes. Do you buy that, science?
No, it is complete nonsense. It's fiction. It comes from a cult ideology. There's no science in there, no facts to back them up. Historically, the only correlation between carbon dioxide and temperatures over millions of years is that world temperatures drive carbon dioxide levels, not the other way around. What they have is they fiddle the facts in order to justify political attacks, carbon trading, extra taxation on the public.
But Piers, you know, the critics would say, wait a second. They say, hold on a second, Piers. They're saying we're seeing global ice sheets melting. We're seeing the Arctic Circle being opened up in such a way that Russia now laying claim to certain land up there that never before.
We
have ships going up there. What do you say to them?
Well, fine. The ships have been up there before. It's all happened before. And in fact, it is now closing up again in the Arctic, and the Antarctic has been cooling for the last 30 years. We are just past the peak of a world temperature rise, and we are now falling, and it's going to carry on falling in general for the next 25 years. And all these major extreme events around the world, the biggest ones, such as the heat wave in Russia and the floods in the ending of the heat wave in Russia and the ending of the floods in Pakistan, were predicted by us using a solar magnetic theory, which you can find out more of on weatheraction.com, our website.
Beyond that, I want to get your Twitter address because I'm going to start following on Twitter.
Well, wasn't it great to have the coldest shut down by such an authority? You know, they say the science is settled. Yeah, right, the science is settled. We've got thousands more than even if you believe the phony IPCC claims that 4,500 government-funded, lobbied scientists are on the side of the UN's scheme. Even if you believe that, even though many of 4,500 have now said, well, we didn't actually sign the agreement saying we totally agree with man-made global warming. You sort of put words into our mouth, as was the case. We had John Coleman, the founder of the Weather Channel, head a group of over 38,000, I believe, a petition against Al Gore's phony movement. If he's the, you know, the ice lord of that movement.
And then the guy gets a freaking Nobel Prize. I mean, come on. A well-scheduled, scientifically calculated move to con people into thinking that they should tax breathing. I love it. I don't think it's an inconvenient truth at all. Because it gives us plenty of material of reasons why these people are lying scumbags who want to take everything we've got and hold it to themselves forever. Well, if that, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will.
Men and children, front line, log on, tune in, stand and be counted, wounded, stationed in the belly of the vulture, watch your back, there's no civilians, women, children, front line, listen, consider this a distant, early warning, the fire's imminent, pollution, gathering dust, particles, funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation, too fed, check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Folks, hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. I am Will, and we were talking over the break about how all these trash in our society get all the great noble awards for serving us, and they're just great servants to humanity. And one of these filthy whores is Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, an open racist, a promoter of birth control, socialist movements funded by the Rockefellers. Just a total, like, you find it when you start researching some of the people involved in this global agenda of eugenics and total enslavement and totalitarian world government. When you start investigating their kernels, they tend to be nexus points for all the other trash. Just like they hang out together and, you know, party together and, you know, have orgies together in many circumstances. I mean, just it's on black people. This is Margaret Sanger for you. This is 1953 Humanist of the Year. Black people, quote, human weeds, reckless breeders, spawning human beings who never should have been born. That's from Margaret Sanger, Pivot of Civilization, referring to immigrants and poor people.
She's a pretty wicked lady.
She believed in racial, quote, purification, and that couples should be rewarded who choose sterilization. No, and then she had, and then she wrote on all this, you know, plan for peace, and she was kind of like a leftist. She was definitely a leftist. You know, in the false left-right paradigm, she was in the real left paradigm, you know. She really believed there's a false left-right paradigm, but people can still believe in the tenets and the ideologies.
Yeah, they're going to believe in the extremes to such point that they block out anything that matters, including the value of human life, which is why they can endlessly justify exterminating people for no good reason and then stealing everything that they have to enrich themselves.
This is, when I say they're occultists and when I talk about sexual depravic tendencies, you know, this is Margaret Sanger for you. If you want to get a gist of what these people believe in, on adultery, a woman's physical satisfaction was more important than any marriage vow, Sanger believed, Birth Control America, page 11, that is. You know, satisfaction, just go out and do what you want. Be reckless. But then get birth control and kill your kids and kill black people.
Man, she sounds really lovely. Let's give her a Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, wait, we already did. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know can flow like this? Like this? Like this? Let's do it.
How many dudes you know move like this? How many dudes you know flow like this?
Not many, if any. Not many, if any.
How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this?
I don't know anybody.
I don't either. Yes, you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Hey, you know, it'd be really awesome. Ricky Ray, who we've had on the show before, is somewhat of an expert on the occult and particularly in the music industry, which he's well into. He's been sending me a whole lot of awesome stuff over the past couple of weeks, including very recently a whole bunch of little tune pieces and things like this, so you can, you know, put a music track together of sorts. And so, you know, I sat down and sent me quite a lot of stuff, mate, and I was looking through them, kind of picking out what I thought was really cool and awesome tunes and stuff like that, because I'm just currently working on my second album at the moment, and I'm not sure if I've even bothered to release the first one. But, you know, it's quite fun. I like just mixing a little bit of beats here and there, because I love music. It's bloody awesome, especially if you do it as a background to like a documentary or something like that, you know. Make your own music for your own soundtrack to your own Docker or something like that. That'd be cool. I've got it on the works at the moment. Then. What was that, Will?
I suppose you kind of have to, though, don't you? I mean, the copyright claims these days.
Well, yeah, that's pretty ruthless. Or you can do what our executive producer did for a film called Real and Raw, where they set up a charitable trust called Fruit for Our Children, which was going to plant a whole bunch of fruit trees for every dollar that's put in through profits in the film and stuff like that. And they got something like $40,000 worth of music for free to do as a soundtrack with the movie. You know, and so there's a lot of charitable work out there for musicians to work with other people in different industries, you know, filmmakers, activist groups, things of that nature, because one of the important things about living a lifestyle that's really not stagnant is that you need to rotate in different groups sometimes, you know, to sort of stay in touch. because otherwise you're going to get all closed off and whatnot. And if one thing should fail in your small sphere of influence, that means you're basically out on the ledge. Whereas if you have lots of different things, for example, if you've got a job, a different group of friends, and a political lifestyle, and a media aspect and whatnot, that means if any one of those fails, you still have all the rest of those mechanisms holding out to support you. Some people, on the other hand, they just hang around with very, very few people. They don't go out. They're kind of sort of, afraid to do anything. But I'm very sad.
Well, yeah, well, a healthy lifestyle, isn't it? It can't be.
I mean, seriously, we've got to get out there every now and again. And when I make music myself, it has to have kind of a meaning. Well, my first album I called Zero Gravity Disco, and every song, there's 10 of them, is named after a planet in our solar system, including the last one, which is The Return of Nibiru. And
not that disinfo.
Yeah, yeah. And my new album is called The Last Empire. And I've got a couple of tracks in here now. I've got the Rockefeller Shuffle and this sort of track right here, which I'm going to play for y'all now, is called Depleted Uranium. I'd like to dedicate this song to all the soldiers in Iraq that are experiencing harsh conditions, both on the field of battle and off. And the soldiers in Afghanistan, including the Kiwi ones. And everybody that's been affected by genocide everywhere at the hands of some ruthless global banking scumbags. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Depleted Uranium by Vinnie Eastwood. Thank you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. Hope you enjoyed that little puppy that I made there. I'm not sure if it's any good. And according to my missus, it's not real music because and I see what she's getting at, because all I'm doing is like taking digital stuff and then just hooking it together. You know, there's no actual instrument involved per se, but no.
But if music is creativity, then on the other hand, it requires some composition, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, nobody can really make music unless they've got a understanding of what music should sound like to them or whatever, you know. Some creative people come up with things that people have never even heard before, never even thought of. Mm. But I'm not one of those people. Because I believe wholeheartedly in the old phrase, there's nothing new under the sun, you know?
So, everything's just an interesting reinvention. That brings an interesting point to my mind just then. I mean, this that Peter Joseph Zeitgeist fraud guy, he claims everything's nurture, not nature. And so, you know, you take that theory to the field of music, where people come up with some completely original stuff. Like, I would hasten to guess, one of my favorites here, I know it's got a bit of an occult influence from Jimmy Page, but Led Zeppelin's All of My Love. And there's riffs in that, and there's instrumental change. And there's just a lot of complexities that I couldn't understand, would never be able to imagine creating. There's plenty of other examples out there. But how does someone like Peter Joseph rationalize that sort of creativity beyond what is learned, taught, or propagated through a society?
Yeah, I mean, it's very strange, isn't it? Because there's a lot of things that are unknowns, right? We don't know how we know things, but yet we know them. We don't know how we got the energy to get up in the morning, but we do. Don't know how we can't stop talking, but we do sometimes, especially when the missus is angry. But there,
I mean, what I mean is that this factor there is what I call the human spirit, which sounds wishy-washy to some, but I mean that's the core of everything. I think that's the core of all motivation. I think that's why people, even people who say there is no meaning to life, there is no meaning to everything, everything's a big joke, the reason why they keep getting up in the morning is because at some innate gut level, they're in denial about it, but at some innate gut level, their spirit knows there's a purpose to things. Their spirit knows they've got to get up. Their spirit knows they need to reproduce. Well, that drive there. I mean, they know that they've got to keep propelling the species forward, but through their words and through their beliefs that they espouse, I mean, they are entirely in denial of all these innate drives that come from none other than a spirit.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's something central, there's something cozy about the idea of a spirit. And a lot of people latch on to it because they believe it. And in some cases, they can just feel it, right? And, you know, it's not talking about some description of religious or satanic idea of a spirit. It's more like a psychological condition. The I won't be a freaking slave, I'm going to find a way out of this sort of spirit, right? An idea that cannot be kicked to the curb, something that survives past death, and something that exists before birth. That's what spirit really is to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, people say, what's it like to be, you know, people speculate on what it's like to be dead. Well, what was it like before you were alive? I mean, there's a starting point anyway. It might not be an answer. But, you know, there is a lot more to life than what we recognize beyond our five senses. And it goes back to, like, that movie Equilibrium really brings these things out to the surface. And then if you just run a society in order to serve a society and its totalitarian or centralized nature, then you'll miss out on so much of what it is to be a human. The art and the music and the experience, things that can't be broken down in scientific terms. And that's the problem with the way society is tending today. The government just wants a stake in every aspect of your life, and is narrowing down what it means to be a human in this artificial world. And they're putting blinkers on your eyes like a racehorse.
And get this article in here: all parents lie, declares Starship nurse. Now, Starship is a children's hospital here in Auckland, and the senior nurse at the child protection unit told a conference of medical professionals that all parents are liars until proved otherwise.
This is the state comes first, the kids answer to the state, and they become snitches on their parents and everything else, and it breaks down the family unit. This is what it's all about. That's what Planned Parenthood, we're talking about Margaret Sanger. You know, they said in their publication, June of 1970, that all those who have two children should be compulsorily sterilized. At the same time, they promoted homosexual activity. So regardless of what you think of homosexual activity, they did promote it at the same time, saying all of those have two kids, which is just replacement for the parents, just replacement, should be compulsorily sterilized. It's the breaking up of the family unit. That's how they bring down humanity.
Yep. And then we see things on the news and all that about all these terrible African nations with heaps and heaps of kids and all of that. And it's like, well, no.
And no one's ever been there or seen it or experienced what they have to.
Yeah. And modern Western lifestyle dictates that you have very few children anyway, sterilized or not. But then again, there's an awful lot of sterilants in our water, food supply and air.
The planet will regulate population at the end of the day. We're at the whim of nature. Regardless of all these artificial, air-conditioned enclaves we want to build for ourselves, you know, we are at the whim of the elements, ultimately.
I think the whole population...
We don't need government policy to regulate the population. It's so ridiculous, these people.
Yeah, man, I think...
They really think government's God. They really do.
Yeah, well, get this, bro. A reason I reckon why they're just pumping up this whole, oh, there's too many people argument is because they just basically want to have an excuse to kill everybody. Right? You know?
Of course they do. Well,
that's all.
Why do they want to kill people? Because they're pledging allegiance to their God. That's why. Because they're offering ritual sacrifices, ritual offerings. That's what war is, too. That's why they launch wars on certain dates, like George Bush did in Iraq.
Yep.
I mean, people have got no idea what's...
You know, and that's the whole behind-the-scenes occult world that so few people know about. I was talking to a guy the other day who's duplicating some DVDs for me, and he says, oh, yeah, everybody knows this stuff, man. You know, that's Aleister Crowley, that's this, that's that. And I was just like, well, hold on, man. Most people don't know about Aleister Crowley and all these eugenics scumbags and occultists that are all throughout the fabulous history of huge organizations like Planned Parenthood and most of your government's policy towards
children. And the UN.
And the UN. All right? It's a whole nother story. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will.
About there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The newspapers shout a new style is growing, but we don't know whether it's coming or going. Speaking of, we don't know if they're coming or going, recent teeth have been discovered and tested, apparently. Signaling that there were three types of humanoid kind of creatures walking around at a time about 30,000 years ago, which means that Neanderthals and modern humans were not the only species on Earth. Very interesting. Apparently, the cavemen, known Denisovans, were identified from DNA taken from a tooth and finger bone found in a cave in Siberia. They walked the earth during the last ice age when modern humans were developing sophisticated stone tools, jewelry, and art. The finding means that there were at least three distinct members of the human family tree alive at the time: modern humans, Denisovans, and the Neanderthals. Hmm. How very interesting. It just shows that we don't really know a whole lot about the human existence, do we? Because after all, a heck of a lot of the story of human existence has been destroyed by people who don't want you to know the truth about where our species come from and what the true history is behind resistance and why people actually decided to write big friggin' books about other individuals because they were trying to teach you something.
Well, I mean, just in the article, Vinny, I don't know if you can spot the propaganda, but I spot the propaganda. The propaganda is always the assumptions. And the assumption there was, you said there was a third type of tooth found, signifying that there was a third prehistorical man in addition to modern humans and Neanderthals. So obviously there, the propaganda in that paragraph was modern humans and Neanderthals. They just have these premises that everyone has to work off, and if you don't agree with their premise, then you're bad.
Because the premise they're working on is evolution, that there's like a different
happen to work off a certain premise.
But
that's fine that they have the premise. That could be true or might not be. But the point I'm trying to make is they never, ever, ever will write articles that debate a premise. They never, ever, ever will put documentaries on TV and encourage populations to debate a deep-rooted premise.
Oh, that's not entirely true, Will.
It is entirely true.
No. The other year, during the big global warming debacle, Prime News had showed the great global warming swindle, but they cut out a few bits. For example, the bits that conclusively proved that global warming wasn't happening at all.
Exactly.
They cut those out. But they then had a panel discussion afterwards with two former members of the IPCC and a climate activist and all of this kind of stuff. And they just and the climate deniers, so to speak, annihilated them.
Yeah, but the point I'm trying to make is they manipulated that evidence so they didn't show the segment where it broke down. How much CO2, 6.6 gigatons, in 2007, man was contributing to the overall carbon cycle, 6.6 gigatons CO2 compared to the oceans, 150 plus, compared to decaying flora and fauna, 100 plus. They omitted those points, which are crucial points. They omitted that other planets were warming. Up until a few years ago, that the polar ice caps on Mars were receding, that certain moons like Titan were ice and then were liquefying. They just omitted all those facts, and they put it on Prime. They didn't put it on a central state television network. They put it with some idiot called Eric Young, who couldn't make up his own mind or anything. He had to play some sort of fog of war jester. I mean, the point is, and then even after that whole show, did it create debate in society? No. Was it encouraged in the women's magazines as much as some scandal of some guy's, plastic surgery scars? No.
It did a little something in talkback, though. Radio Live and News Talk ZB, probably the two top talkback stations in the country, when they open up the debate and allow so-called climate deniers to speak a bit openly about questioning climate change, they just light up the phones. The public sentiment is there. There's also been a episode of Close Up where they had a well-known climate objector, like a conscientious objector.
Ian Wishart.
Debating some billionaire philanthropist who probably would kill you as soon as look at you, and saying that the science has settled. He must have said that one phrase at least 20 times during the interview.
How many times on TV? And how many times on any state TV in any country has there been a panel debate over 9/11 being an inside job, or over whether we need a total surveillance society, or whether we or whether we need fluoride in the water? When has there been a panel discussion on that issue, or whether we should have GMOs willy-nilly thrown around in the food supply and grown in open air conditions? I mean, when have there ever been any debates on these issues? When has there ever been a debate on TV whether we should have central bankers, Rothschild scum, issuing our currency? When has there ever been any discussion of the fact that we have fractional reserve banking being practiced throughout most of the Western world? When has there ever been an explanation of that even? That, oh yeah, just, you know, 1 in 10 or 1 in 100 or just 1 in 1,000, you know, is the ratio we have cash on loans, deposits on loans. When is there even? That's what I'm talking about, man. Like, little things here and there don't count. There is never debate over the big things in society.
I think all the little things are taken for granted.
Everyone knows evolution happened. What are you talking about? Everything's just taken for granted.
Oh yeah,
everything's just taken for granted.
And so we need to create the solution. Right,
and that's
the thing about creativity is that everybody's got it, and there's more creativity in the general population, I can assure you, than there is in any unprofessional branch of media.
So, yeah, but it's been used in like makeup artistry and rugby. It's been wasted in things that don't matter unless we have the fundamentals of freedom consolidated. People say to me all the time, "Is you're too down, you're too negative, you don't see all the good things going on." I say, "Oh yeah." The proof is in the pudding. That's the whole argument, Vinny. So me and you can agree on things, and me and you can argue on things, but the proof is outside of me and it's outside of you. The proof is the Rothschilds run our economy. And so at the end of the day, I don't need people to argue with me and say, oh, look, there is open debate. Oh, look, people do understand the economics of things. No, they don't, because if there was an understanding, we wouldn't be living in this perception reality world. We wouldn't be.
Yeah. I agree.
If any of these people were right upon their premise, we have an open society, we would see a manifestation of that in terms of the way we live.
Yeah, I completely agree. And again, doing something about it is the most important thing you can do. All right, because it's all very well to be upset that the central premises aren't being debated, which is why, you know, you need to ignite debate. And
we're trying to do right here, aren't we?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what we're trying to do. Exactly. But I mean, like, we need to ignite it. We need to get, like, if I know there's some trash in Hamilton at the university there, and I won't name them. But they seem to believe there's some prominent individuals who write for the local student magazines, who are out there already being the little jesters on behalf of the Masons, helping to co-opt people's minds. If they want to come on the show and debate the fact that we have fiat currencies globally and that they're just running us all under, you know, bring it on. Producer at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
And we'd like to encourage debate on this show. Thing is, the difficult thing I find, Will, is that if you're going to argue with us, who, you know a lot of facts, when we speak about something as our opinion, you know, to back it up, those people who are caught in the web of sophisticated propaganda don't want to listen, nor do they want to debate. And this is as true from the top as it is down the bottom. You know, we have low-level, what we call the political low-hanging fruit, people of general political interest and reasonable, you know, educated acumen, who will totally buy into any idea which they see fit and ignore any debate, any rational understanding, or anything to the contrary of what they've decided their belief structure is.
Well, the thing is, Vinny, I would actually aim that comment at a few people who I know and then a lot of people I don't know who are actually the up-and-coming Henry Kissingers of the world, the up-and-coming little butt boys for the New World Order, the up-and-coming, you know, think it's cool to be a slave because they get an Audi out of it people. not the average person. These people are smarter than me. They're smarter than you, probably. I mean, they're intelligent people. They've been to debating schools since they were 12, and they were in the chess club because Daddy wanted me to work for Kissinger Associates. And, you know, and they're real pretentious little ratbags who think everything's just rosy. And climate change, and there's too many people, and yeah, Margaret Sanger was right, you need to be killed, and they just believe in all of this stuff. And what's wrong, Bohemian Grove, it's just a camp in the woods for rich people, and just, they just rationalize everything. And they can stand on their own two feet, and they can debate some of these people, but I challenge them to come on the show. I really do, because I might not be as smart as them, I might not have the chess debating skills that they have. I might not have a chivalric order behind me like they do, but I know that a truth smashes through 1,000 of their lies. And that they have just to keep lying and lying and digging themselves into a deeper hole in order to keep up some veil of honor or some overt public face of we care for people.
Yeah, yeah. Which is why a lot of people are actually getting really ticked off. Next year, 2011, supposedly is going to be a big, big year for dissent. All right, according to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts.
Sure hope so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I sure hope so too, because I don't know about you, man, but I've noticed that there has been a pickup in political action, at least in this country.
Yeah. It has to happen, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's just the natural tendency right now, but the government and all the trash are going to pick up too. So, you know, may the best people win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, maybe we should start up a company that goes around and collects all these people that, you know, vote for pointless issues, and we'll call it the Trash Pickup Company.
Well, I'd rather start picking up the ones who herd and shepherd people into voting into such mechanisms first.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
actual
yeah.
social engineers, they're the dangerous people. You know, like we talked about Margaret Sanger. She's not the top of the pyramid. She's just one of their little atheist nihilist slaves they like to use who sells out at a certain level and is used as an engineer overtly. I mean, they're dangerous sort of people. They probably don't even have the belief system of the upper elites, but they're just ruthless people who think this is all just a big joke and they can mess with people's lives with no consequences.
And that's what emerges from the old WikiLeaks saga is that the American public discourse consists of cries for revenge against those who tell us the truths.
That's it, you know. That's the biggest joke out of all of this. Is we know that, and this happens in the truth movement too. I mean, we know that there are billionaire bankers out there who, during this radio show, have made trillions of dollars just through their leverage. That's how ridiculous it's getting. We know that over 70% of the world's wealth is in a couple of families. A Russian economist worked out 70% of the world's wealth 30 years ago were just the Rothschilds. And then we get angry at some activist making a couple of grand off a documentary or you know, some guy leaking a few classified documents.
It's a disproportionate level of analysis that we apply to the things that really don't matter. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio, Rush 89 FM, Hamilton. Gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and incidentally Rush 89 FM in Hamilton. If you want to find our website, it's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Or just Google Vinny Eastwood. It doesn't matter whether you spell it with an IE or a Y. Doesn't matter whether or not you're looking for an example or a question. Vinny Eastwood will yield the same result.
Just Google the man. Make him feel good.
Yay! The CIA is perking their interest in me. Fantastic, man. Mm. Oh, it makes me so feel warm and snuggly. I've got to show on me mates. I can't believe it, man. But in either case, Kissinger. All right. Now, this scumbag here. All right. Ruthless. Evil.
Are these sounds like the devil?
Oh, apparently, Slate.com. I'm very happy with him having an entire career. Being a series of massacres and outrages. This is, of course, just following his most recent Nixon tape release, where he said that the slaughter of Jews in gas chambers by hostile foreign dictatorship would not be an American concern. And I don't think that anybody who doesn't think that the slaughter of innocent people is not a concern of anybody else's. You know, it's a concern, doesn't mean you have to act on it. You know, you should at least have some description of empathy when you're trying to run a nation, especially if you're running its military. But of course, none of them have that anymore, because otherwise they wouldn't be in the job. When God puts you in the ovens, you're there forever. And that's what he said in Madison Square Gardens in 1985. This guy is pretty rough. However, you know, nobody can ever rise to the top in this society, it seems, because of the fact that you kind of are already picked before you've come out of university or before you've even gone in. You know?
Let's just go through this guy's awards.
You don't get to be part of this club.
Henry Kissinger, I mean, listen out to these clubs and awards. I mean, Henry Kissinger, member of the Bohemian Club, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group. He received, in 1995, appointed Honorary Knight Commander of the British, of the Order of the British Empire. Presidential Medal of Freedom under Gerald Ford. But he's also a member of the Aspen Institute. And then when you look into the Aspen Institute, you find they're just another one of these tripantine organizations funded by the Carnegie Corporation, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, and the Ford Foundation. You know,
all of which are charitable trusts set up by these big scumbags, so they can basically launder money through them and advance their schemes in other ways, in tax-free ways, and to hide their wealth as well. I mean, did you know that people actually think that David Rockefeller's only worth $1 billion? Yeah, right. Probably worth $1 billion back in the 20s, even before that. There's no excuse for these kind of things, and you can't just go to yourself, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to give a few dollars to Amnesty International here, a few bucks to Greenpeace or whatever charitable organization like WWF that you want to look into. They're all the exact same thing over and over again. Bunch of scumbag, New World Order slime, funding them so that they can advance some form of eugenics policy. Invariably. You know, I'm sure there are very genuine charities out there. And, of course, there's people who work for these very bad charities anyway who know what's going on but think that at least they do that 2% of good to the 98% bad that they do. That's how they justify it.
Yep, they're like, oh, well, they've got big reach. I couldn't go on a trip to Africa otherwise, so the UN's pretty good. And, you know, I don't care if Will and Vinny talk about the Bohemian Grove Club and the Aspen Institute and the Council on Foreign Relations all being tied in with them. I think they're quite good. They're helping Africa. They don't want to commercialize water supplies there. Jay-Z helps liberate their water supplies. I mean, yeah, yeah. Jay-Z's Africa, Water Africa program, just all these sickening things they do. Token gestures. So they hook in weak-minded individuals out there, and then they carry out their ops. And it's just growing power, you know. Kissinger famously said, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac.
Oh, yeah. Very debauched individuals, you know. They're just completely devoid of morality, and the average person doesn't identify one iota with these people. I can assure you, nor do they identify with you. You're scum in their eyes. You're cattle. You're a product. You're nothing. You're not worth the dirt on their shoes. Do you get it? They really do think that you are their slave and that they could kill you at will or shut you up, set you up, do whatever. These people hold no rule books. Save,
you're right.
Save those that are written in satanic law.
I mean, your rights are just privileges at their whim. They can take your driver's license. They can take your license to have children that they want to issue out across the Western world. They could just take everything. You can't build a house there. You can't live there. You can't have that many children. She has to work this many hours. They just want to rule everything.
Yeah, understanding your enemy is key to defeating them. All right? Some people think that in order to beat an enemy so ruthless, you need to be as ruthless. I'm not sure if I believe in that. But I certainly know that I'm not going to give up, just as they won't ever try to give up on enslaving me and my family and my country. And, I'll just give them the big old finger and tell them, there ain't no way you're going to do this on my watch. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. We actually give a flying F about you, unlike these other filth. And we'll be back tomorrow.